Welcome. Welcome to the D.M. Brulee Show. And we're here live again on republicbroadcasting.org. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. We're also simulcast on Internet Chat Cafe with the thanks to Claudia Nelson. And we have a number of micro stations and AM FM stations around that have picked up. We're going to be talking with a woman that is a school teacher that decided to write a book dealing with the issue of what happened to the Northern Alliance, what happened when the situation started occurring in the Middle East in Afghanistan. And she's going to be talking about the gentleman that was running the Northern Alliance and how he basically was murdered by Osama bin Laden just before September 11. Her name is Mary Ann T. Beverly. Has a wonderful book out, and it's called The From That Flame. That's going to be our first hour guest, and then the second guest we have on will be talking about judicial corruption, something that's becoming an open nightmare for everyone across the United States. It's happening hugely in the area of Illinois. People have complained about different things that are going on in the judicial system, and this is going to show you the true process of the corruption, where the corruption is located. And also, we're going to get with her again on this broadcast to talk about what we need to do to create a solution to this matter. I'm going to bring John up. John, are you there? How are you doing tonight? John, are you there? I'm trying to reach John. I guess he's not up yet on the broadcast. John, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How are you doing? What's
doing
going on?
Doing good, Deanne, doing good. It's a little cool out here, but other than that, we're got like about 5 inches of snow. I got my sons are trying to snowmobile, and they're trying to have some fun. I've lost you again, I think. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Not very well.
Oh, okay. I got to do something at work. Can you hear me better now?
I'm still having trouble. You're awful quiet.
Oh, it is. Okay. I have to try to work on my levels then. I'm sorry. Anyway, we're going to have a pretty good show, I think, here tonight.
Well, I'm waiting to hear on Mary Ann. She was very informative when I spoke with her the other night. She has a lot of good information.
Okay. Well, after the break, we're going to bring her up on the broadcast and things. I am also going to be talking next week about this thing of famine and this situation with the water crisis that's going on in Georgia. We're going to be covering that aspect on Truth Radio. I think people need to understand where we are with this, with the depletion of water supplies here in the United States, and I don't think it's been covered. So we're going to break, and we'll work on my levels when I come back. I hope you all can hear me. And we'll be back with Mary Ann Beverly and her book after this commercial break.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
We're here at Late Night with Deanne, and we have a special guest, an author. Her name is Mary Ann T. Beverly, and she wrote a book called From That Flame in regards to the issue of a man, a very brave man, that was trying to prevent the Al-Qaeda cells and terrorist cells from taking over in Afghanistan, and he was later murdered by bin Laden. And she's got an interesting tale to talk about, and we're going to bring her up right now, Mary Ann T. Beverly. Mary Ann, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. Now, you're a school teacher, and we were talking about this the other day. You felt that you had met the gentleman that was the hero to the Afghanistan people, the Lion of Panjshir, and you happened to get in touch with someone that knew him, correct? How did you put this book together? Tell our listening audience.
Like most Americans, I didn't know a lot about Afghanistan. I wasn't paying much attention to it before the 2001 attack. But it was 2 months after 9/11, and I was flipping through a magazine when I saw a picture of this man, and I had this sense that it was an immediate recognition, that I had just must have met him somewhere. And as it turned out, I never had, but by then I was hooked, and I just kept researching more and more and more and more about him, because I was just fascinated with him and what he had done in Afghanistan and what he was trying to do. And as it turns out, through research, I found people who were with him, who knew him, who had fought against the Soviets with him and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And he, during the summer of 2001, was trying desperately to get someone's attention to say, these people are planning this attack. And unfortunately, no one was listening. And then as a prelude to the 9/11 attack on this country, he was assassinated in Afghanistan on the orders of Osama bin Laden. They thought that, you know, getting rid of him would slow down the U.S. response.
Now, the thing is interesting is, too, now he was fighting the Al-Qaeda cells and the Taliban in that country, and he was being backed by the United States. Is that not correct?
Well, not as much as he would have liked. He was getting some help, but he wasn't getting the supplies. He kept asking to be resupplied. That's what he mainly wanted, and he knew that Pakistan would be inclined to listen to the United States, and he knew that Pakistan was supporting the Taliban. So what he wanted was two things. He wanted to get resupplied, and he wanted the United States to pressure Pakistan so that they would stop resupplying the Taliban. He was willing to work with the CIA to go after Al-Qaeda and bin Laden, but at that time, the CIA wanted this surgical, precise, we'll take out Al-Qaeda but leave the Taliban in power. And Massoud kept saying that the two groups had become so entwined that was no longer a possible thing to do. So by the time anybody got around to realizing that he was correct, again, it was too late.
Okay. Okay, let me ask you a couple questions here. Now, when I, back in, just after 9/11, there was a report, I can't remember the governor's name from California, but supposedly he was in Afghanistan and with that summer with Julie Sears was a CIA agent, and they had been told by the Northern Alliance. And first off, the CIA agent, Julie Sears, I believe, was told not to go to the Northern Alliance, so she had to take vacation time to go see this leader from the Northern Alliance to find out what was going on. She had some inside information, and they were both instructed that the 9/11 was going to take place, and they had called just prior to 9/11 Condoleezza Rice and several people trying to notify them of the attack, and she wouldn't respond. And so anyhow, I don't know if you have any information on that or not, or just...
Not that it was. There was something in the 9/11 report, and then Mike Boettcher later wrote an article. It wasn't that Massoud knew that it was going to happen on precisely 9/11, but he kept sending these warnings. He was on the ground in Afghanistan. He heard the rumblings. He heard the grapevine. He knew where people were maneuvering and what they were doing, and he got wind of these plans that there was going to be an attack. In his words, it was beyond comprehension, and that was what he did. He kept trying to warn somebody. Richard Clark was about the only one who was really listening at the time, but then it was Richard Clark who would go to people in the administration, and they thought he was being hyperbolic. They just weren't listening to him, even though he was the only one who was really listening to Massoud.
Well, no. I'll let you continue with your book then. I just wanted to put that little bit of information in there.
Well, the thing is, during this time...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? I'm trying to get my... I'm sorry, I'm having problems with my phone equipment. Can you hear me a little better now or not?
A little better, yes.
Yeah, well, when this thing happened in the Northern Alliance... now, was the Northern Alliance considered, and was he considered a part of the CIA, to your knowledge?
Not officially, no. He had contacts. If the CIA needed something done or they needed to know something about Afghanistan, he was the person that they would want to talk with. But was he ever paid by the CIA? Was he ever an official operative by the CIA? I've never uncovered anything that would have indicated that he was. He was a very independent man, and he did a free and independent Afghanistan, and he believed in democracy, and he really didn't want to be beholden to anybody. He wanted help, but he didn't want a lot of interference. And so I guess sometimes that would, for countries that were had their own agendas involved with Afghanistan, that was rather off-putting, that he was not someone who could be manipulated in any way.
And you were saying, too, that he was remarkable for being in the Middle East, and he was for women. You said that in your book you were alluding to the fact that he was giving women rights. It was different than any other place in the Middle East. So you want to tell the listeners about that?
Yeah, well, there's one story in which the woman herself is telling about it. You know, when the Taliban came in, the women were not allowed to work anymore, and they were actually put into their homes, and the windows were painted black, and women were not allowed to go out unless they were covered in head to toe by the burqa and unless they were with a male relative, and there were all these rules and restrictions on what they could and couldn't do. And there was a woman, and this is just one example of what he did, but there was a woman who had four children and a disabled husband living in Kabul. And there was no way for, she wasn't allowed to work, her husband couldn't work, and there was no way for them to support these four children, and except for her to go out and beg in the streets. And when Massoud found out about her plight, he had her and her family taken out of Kabul and brought up to the Panjshir Valley, and he put her to work, gave her a job running one of his medical clinics in Panjshir. So he had said on more than one occasion that he believed women had the absolute right to do whatever affected their lives. They should have a voice, whether it was working or going to school or getting medical attention, voting, all of those things. Which is, you know, well, we don't think about that when we hear about Afghanistan today.
Well, how about the issue, too, about the drug trade in Afghanistan that was really being run by the Taliban and various other groups? What was his analysis of that, and what was he doing, trying to do? Was he involved with trying to stop the movement of drugs in and out of his country?
Yeah, oh, he was very, very anti-drug. He was anti-tobacco, much less anti-drug. But it was a very difficult situation because for so many of those farmers, the poppies were the only thing that they could grow that would provide any kind of income for their families. But he was one of the few so-called warlords who encouraged the people to farm and to be productive. It, you know, he would encourage them to do other things, but, you know, it was sometimes just a tough situation.
And now,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, the Taliban back in 2001, the Taliban had decided that it was against God's will, for the people to grow heroin, or the heroin poppy, but now that it benefits them, they're doing it and taking advantage of the money that it's bringing into the country because they're able to buy their weapons and everything.
So then the issue was, now, what was his thought of the United States from your aspect, you know, from seeing us, you know, knowing that bin Laden was, you know, orchestrating a possible hit against the United States, you know, the Twin Tower buildings. What was his opinion? Did he feel that the United States was involved with bin Laden, or did you ever get into that with that level of research? We'll be back after this break, and we'll be hearing more with Mary Ann C. Beverly and after this announcement. Callers, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443.
Thank you. Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic Priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back, and this is the Dean Burley Show on republicbroadcasting.org. Marianne, you were talking before that the this Northern Alliance leader, he, I apologize for not pronouncing his name. I sound like George Bush here. I'd really butcher it.
Masoud.
Bottom line is, you said he was very humorous. He had a very light heart and a very good heart, and he had a lot of humor about him, if you could explain that a little.
Well, it was a hard life. Well, his life started out to be a very good life. His father worked for the king. It was a very prosperous family. He was going to college when the Soviets invaded, and then all of a sudden his life got turned upside down on its head. And it became a life of war and hardship and deprivation for the next 20 years. But he looked at humor as a blessing and a gift from God. And so whenever, and in these bleak days filled with death, dying, and bombs exploding, whenever anybody could find a reason to laugh, it was a wonderful gift. And so he apparently had quite a quirky sense of humor. And he was a very gentle man, a very kind man, who, you know, not what you would expect to find as this brilliant military strategist in the middle of a lifetime of war. But he just believed that laughter was a way of healing and helping the soul and lifting the spirits. And so whenever possible, he would enjoy a good laugh.
You were instructing also that he didn't believe in torture or anything like that.
Absolutely. He was adamant that that was not allowed. There were other warlords. The Northern Alliance was really this loose confederation of warlords, and not all of them had the same standard that he did, but he ran a really strict ship when it came to his troops. They were follow the military structure, and he did not believe in torture or anything that was degrading to the human. So he would go to the trouble of building prisons and keeping Taliban and Al-Qaeda in prison and feeding them and attending to their basic needs, even though it would have been a lot easier for him if he had just allowed them to be killed or, you know, whatever the other ones were doing.
Well, did he ever have a positive relationship with bin Laden before it got to the point where bin Laden assassinated him? Or was it always a strained relationship?
Well, when they were both fighting the Soviets. Now, I don't know that they knew each other way back then, but at that time they were at least allied in the purpose of driving the Soviets out of Afghanistan. But after that, by the time we have bin Laden showing up in our recent history, Massoud had no use for him. He considered him a terrorist, and he wanted him out of Afghanistan probably more than anybody on the planet.
So now, what was the event that led to the assassination? You know, how did that come about? And then how was it that bin Laden was able to go in and capture him?
Well, the theory is bin Laden has since said that he did this. He was responsible for this, ordering this hit. But bin Laden wanted to appease Mullah Omar and the Taliban and give them a thank you gift for allowing him and Al-Qaeda to be in Afghanistan. And the Taliban considered Massoud their greatest enemy because without him, they would have been able to take over the whole of the country. Oh, the only thing that stood between the Taliban and absolute power was Ahmad Shah Massoud. So bin Laden fully expected that the U.S. would retaliate after 9/11. So getting rid of Massoud served this dual purpose. On one hand, he was thanking Mullah Omar for his hospitality by getting rid of his number one enemy. And on the other hand, he believed that if he took the head out of off of the Northern Alliance, that it would slow down the U.S. response, because he knew that Northern Alliance would be the people to whom the U.S. turned, and we did. But they were just hoping that by getting Massoud out of the way, it would slow down that response.
Well, the thing is, I'm just kind of curious about was, you know, the bin Laden, you know, connection into Afghanistan. Did the people there feel any love for bin Laden, or was it a situation the people of Afghanistan were, you know, not happy that bin Laden came in there? What is your opinion of that?
Well, if you try to separate the Taliban from Al-Qaeda, in the beginning, the people were glad to have the Taliban. They had been through years of war with the Soviets and then a civil war, and the Taliban came in promising that they would bring law and order and peace and quiet, and the people said, great. And then it was the Taliban who turned around and invited Al-Qaeda in. The people of Afghanistan didn't really get a vote because of these two groups just assumed power and started to take over the country. And it didn't take too long before the people of Afghanistan decided that this wasn't the way they wanted to live their lives after all. But again, it was only Massoud that was there trying to hold off the Taliban from becoming entirely the only power left. There were only three countries that were recognizing the Taliban as the legitimate government of Afghanistan. But had they been able to take over the country 100%, it's quite possible that the UN and other countries would have been required to recognize them as the official government of Afghanistan. And Massoud was just determined that that wasn't going to happen. But he was in trouble. He only had about 10 to 15% of the country way up in the north. And
well, I have to stop you here. We're going to break. And 800-313-9443 if you want to call in. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it, okay? It's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. 52 for details.
Hi, we're right back, and we're here live, and it's the Ann Burley Show, and we're here with Mary Ann Beverly talking about her book, From the Flame, about the issue with the Northern Alliance versing the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and we have a caller, Dave, in Arizona. Dave?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Welcome to the Dan Burley Show.
Okay. I just called because I was hearing some disturbing information. I thought the lady said the attack from Al-Qaeda on 911. And I'll tell you right now, this is the most disinformation I've ever heard. There is no Al-Qaeda is CIA. That's who they were. That's who they began as. That's who they still are. And bin Laden has never said he did it. They've had six different bin Ladens on tape. And the Taliban was in the United States in Texas with George Bush. And they was told that if they let the pipeline go through, they'd bathe them in gold. If they didn't, they'd bathe them in bombs. And that's exactly what happened. And I'd like to ask the lady how the hell this Al-Qaeda and this bin Laden built all the fortresses that he so supposedly had up in the caves up there. I mean, these were said to be terrific complexes. This sounds like a massive disinformation campaign. I'll be honest with you, and I'll hang up and listen to you on the radio. Thank you.
Well, what you said about the Taliban in Texas, that's absolutely correct. They were visiting with Unicall about...
Would you like to answer that, Marianne, what he's talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure. The part about the Taliban was correct. They were in Texas in the late 90s talking to various oilmen about from Unicall about putting a pipeline through Afghanistan. My understanding from where bin Laden got that complex and where he built it was he brought in equipment from Saudi Arabia. His family were builders, and he brought it in out during the Soviet occupation, and in the late 80s and into the 90s was when that whole system of tunnels was built. And he, as far as I know, he did admit finally that he now whether he said it in, on the public record or not, my understanding is that he did say that he was responsible for ordering the suicide bombers that went up to Massoud's camp in Panjshir. So,
does that answer your question, or do you have something else that you want to ask Marianne? Oh, is it? Well, Dave hung up, but John, you want to expound on that about bin Laden?
Well, the there is a lot of misinformation of how bin Laden's his picture as far as his video saying he was looking at it and figured it did more damage, and there was a lot of cover-up. But as far as I know, bin Laden himself was a CIA agent. We have a lot of information to where the 19 hijackers was a falsehood. There were drones that went into the plane of the towers and those kind of things. But I don't think Marianne is trying to promote that per se. She has information on Osmic, Akhmish Hamid.
Akhmed Shah Massoud.
Okay. I apologize for that. And again, you're promoting something of a virtuous life that was over there that the American public hasn't seen, that actually good life can be in the Middle East. It's not a pile of all terrorists. My belief is 9/11 was a hoax to be help degenerate the Middle East, to blame it on them, and to they've done a terrific job of upsetting that whole area. And the truth of the matter is, they're people just like we're people, and if you have proper leadership, they can live a good life and everything else. One point I wanted to bring out was there was a presentation by the Great Illusion. George Humphrey had a depiction of where there was boxcars full of Taliban fighters that were assassinated after a couple days of being in the sun, and you had a pretty good declaration of what that represented.
Well, only in the context of the fact that, you know, it was a way of having prisoners. They would put people in these containers and just leave them there until they died and baked in the sun. But my information was about Massoud and the fact that he never would have allowed something like that to happen. It's interesting to think about what he did when he was in control and he had his parts of Afghanistan compared to what's going on there today. And I can't help but surmise and wonder what it would be like there today if he was still around to give his input and to be part of this whole reconstruction and the whole process that we're trying to do there.
Well, see, the whole thing about bin Laden, too, as the caller was saying, bin Laden was totally in with the CIA from being a part of the Bush family in Texas, trained. But again, we're talking from the aspect of not Al-Qaeda, but we're talking a bit, again, about the aspect of a man that was trying to keep these forces out of Afghanistan. And as you said earlier, there was a huge issue of the drug, the poppies being used to bring heroin into the United States and other countries around the world. And the thing is that he was trying to stop these things. And the whole issue was there was a total breakdown of relationship between bin Laden and him, in that country. And, this is a different tale. Not that, of bin Laden. And indeed, there is questions of, who and what aware of the 9/11 incident. Now, Marianne, though it's not in your book, what is your opinion of 9/11? You know, as far as the situation that happened in New York, do you feel that it was Bin Laden, as stated, or do you think it was a CIA type of operation to, you know, or a cover story? What was your opinion of that?
I honestly don't know. I'm not one who usually buys into conspiracy theories on a grand scale. I think they're just, you have to have too many people that have to be quiet for too long, and that just goes against human nature. I know that Massoud was warning. That whole summer, he was warning that something was going to happen. And, you know, he was on the ground in Afghanistan. He said Bin Laden is a terrorist. He warned that this attack was coming, so I don't think that he was part of some grand CIA conspiracy to do this. There's nothing in the years and years of research that I've done into him that would indicate anything like that.
Well, it sounds like he was a freedom fighter, you know, in that area.
He was.
And it seems that he just basically was, you know, in a situation that he was in the area that they wanted control of, and it was very much an area that was needed because of the amounts of money they were making from the drugs and everything else. And the thing that was sad is the history of those people and the situation of the disparity they put on the country. I mean, those people were almost in the slave, you know, living conditions. I mean, they didn't have any hospitals. The people there were sickly. And they were, you know, forced in almost like slave labor camps during that time. So, you know, he was a freedom fighter, from what I'm understanding, more than being involved with, you know, the Al-Qaeda or anything else. Is that of your opinion?
Yeah. There was a time like when the Taliban took over, when Kabul fell to the Taliban. At one time, Massoud had something like 400,000 refugees pouring into Panjshir. And he was not only expected to protect and defend them, but he had to house them. He had to find ways to feed them. His concern was for the Afghan people and for the country. And he believed that the Taliban had this twisted version of Islam that he didn't recognize, and that Osama bin Laden was a terrorist who was up to no kind of good. And so he was fighting for the freedom, and he believed in and he wanted a democratic Afghanistan. And that's what he was fighting for, was to rid his country of this vermin, is how he considered them.
Was there any involvement with him in regards to Ali North? Do you know anything about that at all?
I have no idea.
I just was curious if he came in contact with North because of the gun smuggling, you know, things that were going on in those areas as well.
Right.
But, you know, but the thing is that, you know, the bottom line is that in the murder, now this happened when he was, how many days was that before September 11th that he was executed?
Two. Suicide bombers are not something that usually ever happened in Afghanistan, but that's how he was killed. He was up in his encampment, and these two men posing as journalists came up there with a camera and supposedly to do an interview with him, and he sat down with some of his friends and a translator, and he wanted to know the questions in advance, what they were going to discuss, and the so-called reporter started accusing him of saying, well, you said that bin Laden was a terrorist, and you don't like bin Laden, and why don't you like bin Laden? And apparently Massoud was getting quite anxious at the tone of these questions, but before anybody had time to do anything, they detonated this camera that was packed with explosives. And the assassins was killed, Massoud was killed, some of his friends were seriously injured. But then it was interesting, they didn't tell anybody that he had actually died that day. They sent out this story around the world, and his brother helped to keep it under wraps that he had actually died, because the Northern Alliance was so worried about the Taliban and Al-Qaeda coming in when, if they knew that Massoud was dead, that they decided not to let anybody know for nearly a week that he had actually died in that attack.
Now, who became the new leader after he died? Who was that? Was that somebody that was, very much connected with him?
They all ended up in the original interim government with Karzai. They were all some of his top generals. There were like Dr. Abdullah, who I believe is now living in India, and what's that guy's name? Dowd, and there were several Dostum who had been with Massoud for quite a long time. It took like three people to do what he had done all by himself. But the United States went straight to the Northern Alliance after 9/11, and so these people were still reeling from Massoud's assassination when 9/11 happened. And then, so we had a common enemy right off the bat.
So now, what is the aftermath in that country now, as far as the protector and everything? Has it gotten way worse, would you say, in Afghanistan? Is it better from what you're seeing?
The South is just about lost again around Kandahar. The Taliban have taken over most of the southern part of the country, and now they're working towards the western part of the country. Once again, the only part of the country that is relatively calm and safe is the northern part, where in the Panjshir area. It's not a good situation, and the sad part about it is that the Afghan people really like Americans. When we were told when we went into Iraq that we would be greeted as liberators and not occupiers, that's truly how the Afghans saw the Americans, was as liberators. And now we're not doing such a good job. They're still in dire straits.
Now, I've been hearing rumors, and I don't know if this is true, that these groups, rogue groups, are forming, the Al-Qaeda and various other cells are running through Iraq into Afghanistan, and they're building up a huge force there, which they're trying to, move into Iran. Have you heard anything about that, or no?
They're moving into Iran. Well, no. the Iranians and the Taliban were never really good friends. The Iranians are primarily Shia, and the Taliban are mostly Sunni. Now, whether they have decided to join forces because they have a common enemy in the United States, that's possible. Sometimes my enemy's enemy is my friend. But there was a time when Iran was very against the Taliban and didn't want to see them get a toehold and much less a stranglehold on Afghanistan.
But
the problem is Pakistan.
Well, because this nightmare that is unfolding, and the threat of the United States possibly coming in with this hoax of weapons, and the thing was this recently, this last week, there was a presidential announcement, and a couple of the reporters came forth and said, they were saying that he was going to come and ask for money to go into Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that there has been already weapons inspectors out and everyone else, and they have come back and told them, just as they said in Iraq, there was no weapons, nothing there,
Right.
And they're at least, 10 to 20 years to even getting to the level of developing nuclear weapons. So that was kind of in the press conference. But, because of this, you have people there that are in destitute populations with no water. There's hardly no food. There's famine in those countries. And, because of that, you were saying earlier, people tend to band together, for a common cause. And if they do go into Iran, that would be because of the common causes that they feel that they're being hit by a huge terror, is that what you're seeing, or is it something else?
I actually worry more about Pakistan than I do about Iran.
Pakistan is a different source, but they have nuclear capability, from my understanding.
They do. And even though they are supposed allies for a very long time, most of the unrest that's happening in that part of the world is coming out of Pakistan right now. And the Taliban is out of Pakistan. And if Musharraf loses hold of that country, it could get really ugly. It could get really ugly over there. What if the wrong person ends up being the president of a nuclear country? Somebody who's very much against the United States. And all of that is just boiling right underneath the surface in Pakistan.
So we're in a very dangerous situation there, and I don't think we're getting too much of those reports here in the United States. Plus, like I said, the famine and the water situation all through the Middle East is really outrageous right now. But we're going to a break, and we'll be back up at 800-313-9443. We have Bill in Idaho coming up next. The listener will be up.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Hi, it's Deanne. We've returned from break, and we're here with Mary Ann T. Beverly, and she has this wonderful book out called From That Flame, in regards to the issue of what is going on in Afghanistan.
and the assassination by bin Laden of the man that was known as being the Lion of Tangier. Now, one of the things that we want to bring up here really quick, and I'm going to bring Bill up from Idaho to talk and ask Marianne a question. Afghanistan is a very important component of the Middle East. We don't realize how important that is. And the thing is that the people there, the nation has been plunged by terrorism activity, lack of food, water, everything you could think of. And the people were very loyal at one point to the United States. And now we're in a situation that that country is just open grabs to other charity. And we need to look at that, and we need to really look at that. Because, again, we keep on hearing from the mouth of those in the White House, the President of the United States, that we need to watch out for these terrorists and things like that. Well, if we're in the Middle Eastern warfare, and we're talking about going to Iran and this, that, and the other, it would be very important that we protect the interests of people there in Afghanistan. Marianne, you want to shed light on that? What is your feeling?
Yeah, I'm afraid that we're losing Afghanistan again, and it would really be tragic because the Afghan people are extremely fond of the United States and Americans. They view us as friends, allies, and true liberators. They would like to be the best friends we have in the neighborhood. But we're losing their hearts and minds simply because not enough is being done. There aren't enough NATO troops. Now they've decided not to let the Marines go in the way they wanted to. You know, I was told one time when the Germans were in a particular part of Afghanistan, and the Afghan people were like, yeah, thanks, we're glad you're here, but where are the Americans? They really want us to be there. They want us to help them rebuild their own country. And it's just not, we've been distracted, and it's just not getting done. So,
I'm going to bring Bill up. Bill from Idaho, are you there? Do you have a question for Marianne?
I'm honored, as usual. I just mentioned to the board that the volume is really low on this side, but I'll just go ahead and persevere until you can jump in and distract me from my comment observation. I really appreciate your guest's history in regard to this, and it's a tragic one and should be more fully explored and certainly known throughout the country, because the gentleman she's writing a book was one of our staunchest allies at that particular time, a very critical time in history. And obviously that's why they would go after him. But it should be understood, and I was wondering if she had gotten a chance to review Smith on OSS. If she gets a chance, she should really review that closely, if for no other reason to get a total integrated.
Well, we're going to a break here. We'll be right back, and we'll finish with that question. 800-313-9443.